שלום, אנחנו נמצאים בשיעור בנושא גדלות
של הבורא. שלום, we are at a lesson about the greatness of the Creator. We're going to read selected excerpts from the Kabbalists, a lesson about the greatness of the Creator.
I don't know what more to add. We spoke about it so much, but the topic itself has no end. We just have to see that this is where we have the struggle over the greatness of the Creator. Nothing in reality should contradict or block that in some way. It has to stand out above everything. And everything that was created has a right to exist only to help disturb the greatness of the Creator so that we can work against it and build the greatness of the Creator more and more each time, to the point that His glory fills up the world, so to speak. And so a person must always be concerned for the greatness of the Creator, that one thing. And if he is not concerned about that, then he invites troubles to himself that will arise from all sorts of directions, from the farthest in reality from the Creator to his relatives. That all of those have a right to exist only to awaken the person to search for the greatness of the Creator. It can happen in a direct manner or in an indirect manner. It depends on a person's state. But if he's in an environment that constantly helps him, that holds him with the necessity to take care of the greatness of the Creator in his eyes, by that he saves all the troubles and concerns and advances in the right direction. Meaning, we should organize ourselves in such a way that we always remember and work only on that. The greatness of the upper force, one, unique and unified, none else besides him, good that does good, and all of reality exists only to direct us to him. If we try to direct ourselves, if we care for that in advance, that's hastening time. And if we are negligent in that, then by additional opposite forces to the greatness of the Creator, we nevertheless, by something from afar and unpleasant, we still move forward, and that is by in due time. So we have to understand this between us and realize this situation and shorten the path, which is good for us and good in the eyes of the Creator, and also explain that to the whole of humanity, that we have no choice. We can't leave the system. We have to sustain the system. And that's our whole life. Either we advance in a good way or in a bad way, but it's towards one goal, the greatness of the Creator.
We're reading excerpt number 9 from Shamati. Shamati number 19. What is the Creator hates the bodies in the work? One must always examine oneself, the purpose of one's work. Meaning, if the Creator receives contentment in every act that one performs, because he wants equivalence of form with the Creator. This is called all your actions will be for the sake of the Creator. Meaning, one wants the Creator to enjoy whatever one does, as it is written, to bring contentment to his Maker. Also, one should conduct oneself with the will to receive and say to it, I have already decided that I do not want to receive any pleasure because you want to enjoy. This is because with your desire, I am forced to be separated from the Creator, since disparity of form causes separation and distance from the Creator. One's hope should be that since one cannot break loose from the dominion of the will to receive, he is therefore in perpetual ascents and descents. Hence, one awaits the Creator to be rewarded with the Creator opening his eyes, and to have the power to overcome and work only to benefit the Creator. It is as it is written, one thing I have asked of the Lord, that will I seek. That meaning the Holy Shekhinah. And one asks divinity. And one asks that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life.
Most of us are already here for several years, right? Let's say, 10 years on average. And we see how hard it is for us to emotionally penetrate what's written. We read all these excerpts a year ago, 2 years ago, and 10 years ago. We heard about them in many different ways. We discussed them too. But the whole point is the inspiration, the sensitivity, the emotional receptivity of what's there. Sometimes it opens up, sometimes it's closed, and the impression from the text constantly changes, but altogether it increases. The matter of progress in spirituality is only about what's called opening one's heart, raising the level of sensitivity and inspiration, that every word reaches the depth of the heart, and then a person works accordingly. What's most influential over the person is the environment. We know how the environment influences us in every sense, like it or not. The environment dictates everything. If not for the environment, many of the things I do, I wouldn't do them at all. Things I'm impressed by, I wouldn't be impressed by them at all. But it's all because what will they say about me? How will they look at me? How will my relatives will look at me, or farther people? And so on and so forth. And Baal Shem Tov writes about this in several places. The influence of the environment determines our entire behavior to a great extent. The question is, how can we use the environment to be sensitive to the greatness of the Creator so that this topic will suddenly be amplified within me several times more? How can I use the environment or change myself towards the environment or the environment towards me so that everything that has to do with the greatness of the Creator, because that's really what it's all about, that's the goal we need to reach. So how can I increase my sensitivity to the environment and increase the influence of the environment over me? Please. In that lies the whole difference, basically, between hastening time and in due time. Hastening time is by the environment. In due time is on one's own. In due time is also with the environment, but not by awakening the influence of the environment upon us. The whole thing we add with our work is how do we amplify the influence of the environment over everyone in the ten, or the influence of the ten over everyone in it. So how do we increase that with regards to the greatness and importance of the Creator?
We'll start from the simpler stuff, and we'll get to more advanced things. We have to practice connection. We have to take the exercises that society gives about connection in 10, and we advance from there. It's like a scientist in his lab. If you don't practice and exercise, then you have no discernment.
Exercise number one is to play with the greatness of the Creator. If there's a consensus that we have to just really go for it, then you demand the friends to keep their eyes open during the lesson. You demand the gratitude towards the friend, or at least to express this with your mouth. And even if you sting the friends, it's always from the greatness of the Creator. And that's the vortex we need to create. I can say, for instance, in our ten, in the last 2 months, it's like a hurricane. It kind of spins and spins and rises by itself.
We also pray that the friends will have greatness of the Creator, and we work on this during the lesson.
I also think about things we decide on together. It's our work as a ten, as human beings on the face of the planet, to awaken the importance of the goal. That's it. This world was given to us to use it for that.
I don't see the direct connection between the environment and the greatness of the Creator, because we got together and there immediately became connection and greatness of the Creator. I don't see it.
We have the sources that are exactly that adapter that shows us how the environment works if we want to attain the greatness of the Creator. And then if we learn it together, then we enter that system that enables us to be more sensitive to these changes.
One thing is that I feel that the work becomes more and more internal, more subtle, more in thought during the day, not to give ourselves breaks as much as we can, and to constantly look for opportunities, and there is abundance of them, to increase the merging with the lacks of the world kli. For me, for example, from the moment those Zoom meetings started with the world kli after the morning lesson, I cannot say what energy, what power, how it sustains me, how the concept of the ten expanded and became something entirely different. It built the preparation for the Congress in New Jersey and really creates a frequency of greatness of the Creator throughout the day.
Also, don't forget that one cannot save himself from imprisonment. I can always awaken someone else or towards someone else, and when I make sure I awaken others, I find myself awakening.
And this is man's only control over himself and over his future, and how much I put into my environment, from the ten to the children, never mind the walls at home. This should give me the greatness of the Creator. The whole space should be absorbed with it, that this is the only possible good future.
Yeah, and also the greatness of the Creator is something you are given from above. We just have to yearn for it, but eventually it's a change that the light does, and it puts it in the person's kli.
I think if a person directs himself correctly toward the greatness of the Creator, he'll absorb it. He begins to see in this the drive that the Creator gives to people to search for him and exert toward him. But it depends on a person's attitude, how he looks at society, how he relates to the environment.
It's 100% dependent on the person, how much he focuses on that, the root of his soul, and also the importance that the environment gives.
The connection with the friends, the influence of the environment, is several levels. The highest level is that you're in such connection with the Creator that only the greatness of the Creator can bring you to be in such connection, such annulment. So by examples to each other of annulment before the friends, we can give the greatness of the Creator.
Yeah, and the basis is that he invests himself in giving the greatness of the Creator to the environment and receiving that as a feedback loop several times more. But if he doesn't do it in action, in thoughts too, but the actions result from some efforts and sweating over it and thinking about what to do. But if you don't do, then you can search for the greatness of the Creator until tomorrow, and it's not going to work.
Rav, how can I understand the calling of our sages, I will dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life? What does it mean to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life? What is the house of the Lord? And what does it mean to dwell in it all the time? And what is the days of my life? Go ahead.
Thank you for being first to answer. I think it just means a continuous effort towards connection between us at the center of the ten to bring him contentment.
Yesterday there was a question in the workshop in the morning, what is the means that allows us to maintain the internal emptiness and above it build the greatness of the Creator? And I thought about it a lot. What is this power when you merge with Rav and the books and the ten and the society that allows you to come out of yourself to rise above the emptiness and feel something else? It's the greatness of the Creator. It's the light. That's the meaning of dwelling in the house of the Lord, when you're willing to move out of yourself in order to feel the power in the environment. This is life.
Maybe it means that all of life is eventually the vessel for the revelation of the Creator. Whether you are aware of it or not, you're in this kli, and you just need to remove what's preventing you from seeing where you are.
It's being in constant importance of the Creator to the point where a person is willing to relinquish everything and be only in this, dwell in this, be in this. And this is what he thinks about, this is what he does, and this is what interests him in life in everything he does.
From the influence of the light over the person, he discovers such a perception of reality where he sees that he's under the influence of the upper force, and all desires and thoughts come from him. And it could be, this could be a moment, and then something opposite could happen.
All the days of my life are all the states I experience the good, the bad. Above them I exert to connect the ten. And I'm willing to be only in this work. And this is the only correct connection with the Creator.
So, Israel, the light, and the Creator are one, is this whole quote. There's the person who yearns, I dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, is really the light, the reality where he wants all of this to take place. And then there's the continuation of it, which is to see the glory of the Creator and visit his palace.
We're going to read excerpt number 10 from Rabash, article, what there is no blessing in that which is counted means in the work. When a person should replace the goal, meaning where in the beginning of his work in Torah and Mitzvot, commandments, his goal, which he wanted to achieve through the labor, was self-benefit. Now he replaces the goal. That is, where he thought, when will I achieve the goal for my will to receive so I can enjoy? Now he yearns for the goal and says, when will I be able to delight the Creator and relinquish self-benefit? Since this purpose is against nature, He needs more faith in the Creator, since he must always exert to obtain the greatness of the Creator. That is, to the extent that he believes in the greatness of the Creator, to that extent he can work with this intention. For this reason, it is upon a person to pray each day that the Creator will open his eyes, so he will recognize the greatness and importance of the Creator, so he has fuel to labor with the aim to bestow. There are two discernments to make in this. One, to have a desire to bestow contentment upon his Maker, that this will be his only aspiration. Two, to do things with the aim that the actions will bring him a desire to do things in order to please the Creator. In other words, he must work and toil extensively to obtain light and kli, vessel. Light means that he received from the Creator a desire where he craves all day to bring contentment to the Creator. A kli is a desire, meaning that he wants to bestow upon the Creator. Those two he should receive from the Creator, meaning both the light and the kli. However, a person should demand this, and it is written about this, Zion, no one requires her. Our sages said, this means that she ought to be sought, meaning that there must be a demand on the part of the lower ones that the Creator will give them both the light and the kli.
Kli, זה רצון להשפיע.
A kli is the will to bestow. Accordingly, the Creator is revealed there. Now let's decide. How are we going to sort every thoughts and actions of the person, not according to what society is used to, human society, rather according to how it is aimed at the goal. Towards the goal, first we have to aim at the benefit of people and the benefit of the Creator, or that I harm them. In other words, let's sort all of man's actions regarding food, sex, family, money, honor, power, knowledge. Altogether, it's our six main desires. So what do we do? How do we sort of separate? How to say it? Separation? Right? How do we separate or differentiate them to good and bad ones? Let's say I can eat 10 meals. By that, it doesn't make me a good person or a bad person. I can do whatever I want in terms of sex or family. But if I harm someone or not, is how we can measure the nature, the quality of one's actions. The same with regards to money, honor, knowledge. It's more difficult in there, in these desires, because usually it's mixed with a lot of other people and the public and so forth. But how do we get ourselves used to deciding about our actions in the world in this very sharp way? Is it for the good of for the benefit of other people, or to their detriment, and not in some psychological or ethical manner? I can't say that I'm a good person if I rob the public of their money. I can't say I'm a good person if I weaken the country or something. And so on. And in contrast, with food, sex, and family, I don't know, I can have 1,000 families, 1,000 women like King Solomon, and eat 10 meals a day. Meaning, we want to rise above corporeal ethical scrutinies, so to speak, and position them instead of a horizontal scrutiny. We want to look at this as a scrutiny that aims at the goal. Talk about it. You'll find better, more clearer and refined words for it. Yes.
Like you said, if there is such importance of the Creator between us, that you feel that the Creator is behind me, looking over my every action, I think just this fear will make me act correctly. If I feel that I'm being watched every moment, I do everything like I think I'm expected to.
I don't have a clue how to determine if an action is good for others or harmful for others. But if I am the cause of the action, meaning my own benefit and not the friends or dissemination or something serving the Rav somehow, then I think it's harmful. And also in wanting to direct outwards, it divides to whether I can actually acquire the desire to bestow or play with it. I don't know, sorry.
I didn't understand how this is connected to obtaining a kli, a vessel of bestowal over those desires. But I guess if there is importance of the Creator, then it allows you to sort out more correctly what to use and what not to use.
If there is importance of the Creator, then you begin to clarify and see that in everything the upper force dwells, it's all about your relation and perception of how you see what you're facing. And if you see and perceive that the upper force is there, and you make the calculation not according to the desire, then
things that pertain to relations outside of the group, I wouldn't do those scrutinies. I would just be like every ordinary good citizen. And also with respect to the group, it's very difficult, only through the light. I would just search for helping the correction of the friends and connection, and from that we would know.
There's a very strict laws that if I don't do good, I do harm. And if I already say that I do good to someone, then I have to see it as a result that it benefits everyone eventually, that it's supposed to move towards that. And if there's no such tendency that can be measured, then it's probably doing harm to everyone.
So it turns out that we close a circle with the greatness of the Creator. What's to do good is to bestow the greatness of the Creator. In the group, you can do it openly. Outside, you can't do it openly. What are you going to talk to them about the greatness of the Creator? But in thoughts and intention, and in how a person conducts himself outside, and searches and depicts the complete system that should work harmoniously and the upper force flowing in it, and that all the people will be aware of it and recognize it. So there's a prayer. It's like Rabash writes in the article. What's left? What else is there to do but pray? So the prayer is for everyone to be in this. And then it doesn't matter what you do. Because, if, in short, if you belong to if you relate yourself to there's none else besides him, and he's good and does good, your actions pertain to holiness. And then it doesn't matter what you do.
It turns out that the ideal form is to begin every action from some inner connection with the Ten and through that the Creator, and then I perform the action, even to ask them to decide for me what to do in that moment.
There's a place where Baal HaSulam writes about ethics compared to Kabbalah, and then he writes that in the name of truth they can kill someone. For us, it should be the opposite. The goal should obligate. The question is, am I bringing people closer to the greatness of the Creator? And what does that mean? If I can give them an example, some impression, some taste of it, some eureka moment where they might awaken to it. I don't know. Thoughts are deep. I prefer to look at the calendar. How many hours a day I can clear out to what Kabbalists say is the right work.
Rav, how do we organize society so that it gives us the right value system so that what's good for the public and for the Creator is aligned together, and that's the only thing we need to take into account for our correct development? How can our society give us these values so that we always weigh anything only according to the benefit of the public, the benefit of the Creator, and then we're in the right line of progress? Then we look at everything, measure everything, consider everything correctly. That should become our view of the world. And we don't look at any other thing. We have this sort of screen through which we only see the benefit of people and the benefit of the Creator. Nothing that has to do with some beauty or moral or all kinds of nonsense about what's good and what's correct and what's ethical or not. No psychology and nothing. Only that. And then our view will be focused correctly. How can society influence all its members that way?
To talk about it, advertise the greatness of the Creator and the benefit, it's what counts. It's like taking an event in society and we talk about it all day long, and then their lives become that convention, that upcoming convention. So likewise, we should just talk about one thing until it becomes life.
How does a person get that from the environment, from society? He needs to try to give this to them as much as possible. What he tries to contribute and give, then this is how he can integrate with society. He elevates it in the eyes of society and in his own eyes.
It depends on the person and how much he invests, exerts in his heart and physical actions. They become one, and it becomes his. And that's why he can choose what to do.
We can organize society this way if we make each and every friend great, and it becomes a society where everyone lives according to that form exactly, because that's what we increase in each and every one. How does he realize and manifest the yearning and for the greatness of the Creator?
Organizing society means organizing myself and what I can do for the sake of society. I'll go with Shailovich about the calendar. We just need to clear out time to build myself, to get things as much as orderly as possible, and not a very systematic person, very organized person, but as much as I can, with what I received from above, to bestow upon the society.
We see that every time we approach the writings of Rabash, we see something new. It's like the first time we read this, and he just wrote how the values of our society should be shaped.
If we look through this scrutiny, that only for the sake of the created beings and for the sake of the Creator is how we see the world, how we discern and weigh every action and everything that happens, then how will the world seem to us? How will the world seem to us with a view that weighs everything for the sake of people and the Creator? What difference, will we have in the image of the world, in our perception of the world? How will we change from within, and how will the world change from without? We will see the upper world, the spiritual world. Try to think how, through changing these discernments, we achieve the upper world. Go ahead.
I think the best example for me is that, like when Rav says, let's now read together. We're already sitting together and we're reading what we're not reading together. So it's all about changing our perspective, that we envelop us with ourselves with the 10 and with hours of lessons and everything, so that light will wrap us and give us a general vision. It's like when you suddenly have kids and then your whole reality becomes different in terms of time. Same thing here. It's supposed to envelop you, and then there's a certain sense of freedom, a sense of flow of life outwards, and that's how the world changes. And of course, the only thing that's bad is this prison of self, to go back to that.
I hang my hopes on the light that will work on us and will cause in us all of these changes. It also changes our values. The only thing that society can do is create for each of us the form to which I want to aspire, to build a chisaron, the lack, the desire. And from this, you can come with an inclination, with a tendency toward the light to cause the changes.
And the light will give the sense or the view that everyone's is working for the Creator. How the world manifests towards you is the Creator, through all sorts of roles and things. You see that one force operates them all.
With this approach, a person can probably rise above the will to receive, and then he's not connected to this world, to the corporeal world. He enters the spiritual world, or it's a very well-developed will to receive, which is also a very high state.
At the peak of this view, we come to the crossroads of free choice, and then we have to add more greatness of the Creator to really work above the will to receive, above this the imperfect vision, which is not spiritual.
It's a pleasure just to depict it. It's the world running in a purposeful manner. People are going forward. They have hope. Their faces are looking forward. People don't sympathize with a specific situation that lands on them, whether pleasant or not. They sympathize with the process. They see themselves developing in motion from the present. They're going to the future. Everyone's above time and everyone's inspired by it. It's like you look at nature and you admire all the details in it, how the buds and the flowers and then the fruits. Everyone's in a process of growth and development. And all those details just inspire you more and more, and you see how the greatness of the Creator leads humanity to Him.
I think the essential thing here is that our person is always concerned about what's missing outside of me, and not always how do I fill in this black hole, but how can I bring more contentment to the Creator? Where can I bestow more?
If a person tends outwards, it feels like a huge flame where you're like a spark. You just want to be burned in this huge thing. And there's no difference between what is in you and what is outside. Everything is in this inclination to life, to fulfillment, to happiness.
Rav, so this means we can perhaps say that all the wisdom of Kabbalah directs us to this. What does the restriction mean, Masach or Chozel? It's that I only want to see what's for the benefit of others and the Creator, from the love of the created beings to the love of the Creator. So all spiritual actions are specifically aimed that way. They direct us in that way. And what's not that way is not spiritual. It's all in order to receive. It's all for the benefit of the other side. Right? No? What do you think, Akoka? No. Okay, so talk about it. Talk about it. About how all spiritual actions that we learn in the wisdom of Kabbalah are actually in order to direct us to see what's good for the benefit of humanity and the Creator and what is to their detriment.
It's pretty open, actually, in the writings and in the method. It gives you, on one hand, more and more recognition of evil, how within you is the worst possible thing in reality. On the other hand, it gives you an awareness of how privileged you are with having moments of being in the others, in the society, leaning toward the revelation of the Creator. These are the only places where you have vitality. Kabbalists talk about it all the time, you know, your own restriction and exiting to the kli of the other.
And it seems pretty clear that all the sentences are only about how to establish yourself correctly towards the environment and the Creator, to turn yourself into a spiritual kli, and eventually it just leads you to the lack, to the true calling to the Creator that will enable you to be in that state, so that the whole lack that you built can't yet realize it on your own.
The whole of the wisdom of Kabbalah directs a person so that the increasing of the bad and the rejection and the hatred, you cover it with love. And you search through the study and the Torah and the connection, and you search for the reforming light that connects the lines.
There's nothing bad. Even when humanity seems to go in a bad way, it's only to form the kli, the lack, for the right view, the right path. And we come to the same goal, whether it's in this path or that path. And we have the method of how to lead humanity like a head through the right vision and bring contentment to the Creator. He's going to reach his goal, but the question is whether we use the time we have and use the state we have to bestow as much as possible to him.
The whole struggle is over importance. Everyone's struggling for importance. Everyone wants to be the most important politically, publicly, in the military, in the media. Everyone says, I'm the most important. And we are telling people.
Rav, if so, what is Tzimtzum Aleph, first restriction, practically? What do I change within my view of reality, of the environment, society, the world, the Creator, that means that it's just the first restriction, Tzimtzum Aleph? Please.
It is when I... when I see that I live according to the script written by the Creator instead of written by my own script.
It's so cool, these workshops, where it's clear that Rav has an image inside, and you're kind of not attuned to it, and we have to turn our cogwheels together to get it. Tzimtzum is when a person only works to benefit others, and he discovers that what the only evil is that is his self is in the center of reality, and that's what he wants to change, and that's the only thing he can give to others.
Right. Maybe Tzimtzum Aleph is the first act that a person is rewarded with, not to do for his own benefit, but to do for the sake of others.
Yeah, and for the benefit of others is really to work with the lack of others, and actually the spiritual lack of others, not necessarily their lack to now fill themselves with food or something. Well, to discover the Creator in the others and work with that deficiency.
Right. The first restriction is the revelation of man, as opposed to the revelation of nature, who he wants to harm and to take pleasure from the others. But he has the strength not to use these intentions.
Yeah, it's this gap between the greatness of the Creator that appears and the lowness of oneself and the decision to only engage in the greatness of the Creator.
It is a transition of importance from self-importance to the importance of the other, importance of the Creator, where a person lives. I ask only this of the Creator, to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life.
Rav, what exactly do I restrict in what's called restriction? It's the way I view reality. What is it that I restrict and say, that's not good, that's incorrect, and I remove myself from looking at things this way? And then what do I aim myself towards? That's called a restriction. Tzimtzum. We talked about it. Go ahead.
The Tzimtzum is on, instead of what's important for me now, it's what's important to the Creator, and to do this.
Feeling myself as a separate individual in the system, that's a wound, that's wrong, I'm in the wrong layer of reality. There's no such thing at all. I have to rise to that level of that common thing.
I don't know, both have to exist simultaneously. On one hand, your nature is all for yourself. On the other hand, what the Tzimtzum allows you to do is, on top of your nature, to start working outside of yourself. Both have to exist simultaneously, your own nature, and overcoming it to be above it.
What's mostly evident and apparent is your nature, really, how your nature pushes, and we have to do the restriction above it, and then we can really find what's needed and what's required to do, or where am I towards that. But first of all, it's doing the restriction towards your nature.
And Tzimtzum reveals the intentions and not just the desires. And the intention to receive is what is restricted.
My whole attitude to life is towards the gifts. And I decide that I want to relate to the giver of the gifts.
Rav, how should society influence me so that I will go into the first restriction, into Tzimtzum Aleph? What should I hear from them? To see, appreciate. What should be the influence of the environment on me? And without it, of course, I won't be able to do it. Go ahead.
We have to be very envious at the friends who have the greatness of the Creator, who feel it and sense it and always advance and rise in sanctity.
Yeah, and they advertise that this is the most important thing, the greatest thing, and I just do it. You can really easily influence the will to receive. Look how many nonsense we chase in life that society tells us are important. So if we show each other through envy that there is nothing more important than the purpose of creation, we're in it.
Yeah, I agree with the friends that the greatness of the Creator is the means that the will to receive will somewhat agree to clear some part of reality, and by that it can change. And that leads to the recognition of evil, that you understand that, oh, there's a thought of self, there's a prayer for myself, and the person feels it in the flesh as suffering. It's something that will invite beatings, and even you know, egoistically, beastly, just to think of the friends, like the Zohar says, so for the life of my children and the future, and that's it, just not to think of myself.
How does society influence a person into going into Tzimtzum Aleph? Again, it's not something we do in ourselves. Now, let's go into Tzimtzum Aleph. It doesn't work like that. It's a process that the light does on us. Society can influence a person to start exerting in connection, in turning himself toward connection, so that the light will come and change his desires and will subjugate him before the process that will enable him to be that restricted unit in the system.
Rav, how can I describe to myself that the light that reforms comes through my environment and influences me and changes me and obligates me to do the restriction?
I don't remember the question.
Rav, the question is on the screen.
It's simple. There is the environment. There are the friends, parts of my soul. The relationships, in the relationships between us, the vital force appears, which is the light, and it changes our relationships and builds from us the right kli, the ten sefirot.
This is called being in arvut, in the group, in the ten, that this condition of caring for someone, canceling his self-concern, and that's the Tzimtzum Aleph. We do it over him. We ask for the light to work on him, and that's the condition for the Torah.
Rav, in what mutual relationship do I have to be in society in order to receive through it the influence from above, which will change me toward Tzimtzum, into Tzimtzum? In what mutual connection should I be with the environment so that through it I will receive the reforming light, the light that will create the Tzimtzum in me?
In mutual annulment, which is the basis. The annulment is also everyone's readiness to integrate and absorb and also bestow as much as he can. By that, he annuls before his role in the system. Keter and Malchut in parallel. This question kind of shook the workshop for a moment and gave a perspective on how when every friend speaks, their words has inner content. It is supposed to shake my body to the core as I feel that the Creator is now trying to attract me towards Him. And that these are things we have to remind ourselves.
Through these actions of annulling as much as we can, it is annulling ourselves. It is how we can somehow equalize with the light. And then, like in physics, one frequency resonates with a similar frequency and begins to influence it.
So if Danny says it's like physics, I'll say it's like music. Just like music puts you in a certain state when you integrate with the friends, the Rav, the books, it kind of formats your heart. You suddenly are willing to think other thoughts, respond to other things. And it's like Amit said, you annul yourself and then you're ready to play with them. Now, okay, I'm with you in this jam session. Let's flow with it. Let's go with it. And that's the inner force. What do you say?
Nice. So music and physics. Right. So, what mutual relations should we have between us? Everything happens in our ability to submit ourselves before the society on one hand.
Rav, when I want to receive the upper light that will change my nature, that will make the restriction in me, that I will only see through the benefit of others to the benefit of the Creator, that's called restriction. We agreed to begin with. So, in what attitude towards the greatness of the environment and the greatness of the Creator should I be? If I work with the environment so as to reach the Creator, to receive from Him corrections, to raise my corrections to Him through the environment, through the group, the ten, how should I weigh or attribute or match together the greatness of the environment and the greatness of the Creator? What's the connection between them? How do I value this and that so that I form a single system? Please.
First, I have to put on the spectacles of the greatness of the Creator. And I discover it through the environment. The environment is like a spotlight of importance. It's like this striking by which you discover my oppositeness from this place. And by this I invoke the prayer and I can do the tzimtzum. The light comes, makes a tzimtzum, and I can be in it. It's the influence of the light, but my relation to their influence builds it. All of a person's thoughts and actions are arranged so that they are similar to the connection of Avud, and he tries through all the actions to be given reforming light. If I want to see the friends as great, because I have the greatness of the Creator, then the more greatness of the Creator I have, the more I want to see the friends is great in order to match what He has to give me with them, and vice versa. If I want to ask the Creator or to bring contentment to the Creator, then the greater the friends in my eyes, the more I think that they can bestow upon Him. It is one system in which I have to be a transition, a pipeline, like a two-way valve in order to sustain them in one system on top of my annulment. The environment is like a lens that I have to constantly focus and help the friends focus so that they are aimed as well as possible toward the goal, so that the greatness of the Creator will be as clear as possible. Excerpt number 11 from Rabash. The main thing we lack. Wait. The main thing we need. The main thing we need, and for which we have no fuel for the work, is that we are lacking the importance of the goal. That is, we do not know how to appreciate our service so as to know to whom we are bestowing. Also, we are lacking the awareness of the greatness of the Creator to know how happy we are that we have the privilege of serving the King, since we have nothing with which to be able to understand His greatness. In the words of the Zohar, this is called Shekhinah, divinity in the dust, meaning that bestowal upon Him is as important to us as dust. Naturally, we have no fuel to work, since without pleasure, there is no energy to work. Where self-love shines, the body derives vitality from this. But in the work of bestowal, the body does not feel any pleasure. And any pleasure in this, and must naturally collapse under its weight. Conversely, when one feels that he is serving an important king, to the extent of the importance of the king, so is his delight and pleasure from serving him. Hence, at that time, he has fuel that can give him the power to go forward each time, since he feels that he is serving an important king. Then, when he knows and feels to whom he bestows, to the extent that he had the strength to work with the intention of self-love, now he has the strength to work in order to bestow. Since one who bestows upon an important person is regarded as receiving from him. And since the body has the strength to work for reception, in order to receive reward, likewise, in bestowing upon an important king, he derives pleasure in this. By this, we will understand what is written in the introduction to the study of the Ten Sefirot concerning the matter that if she gives, and he is an important person, she is sanctified because of the pleasure of receiving from him. We are seeing something new. Bestowing upon an important person is tantamount to receiving, although there he references the essay about matrimony in the context of reception in order to bestow, at which time reception means bestowal. From this we can understand the other side of the coin, that bestowal is called reception. And because of this, he already has fuel. For if he bestows upon an important person, it is to him as though he is receiving. Therefore, he already has the power to work. It follows that all we need is to believe in the greatness of the Creator, and then we will have the energy to work in bestowal. So bestowing upon an important person is in nature, inherent with us, within us, in nature. If a certain light shines on me so that it becomes important to me, then I feel, because of my nature, that if I give, I will enjoy. So, relating myself to a great one means to receive pleasure. It's tantamount to receiving pleasure. This is called bestowing in order to receive. How can we, at least in this way, build the image of the Creator as important through the society, so it influences me, so it fills me up with the sensation that the Creator is very important, and then I will want to bestow upon him in order to feel safe, to receive pleasure, to be guaranteed that I'll receive everything good that will happen. How do we at least advance toward this? Toward bestowing in order to bestow, in order to receive. Of course, it's not sanctity yet, but it's already a transition. Go ahead. What are you not getting, Akoka? What's the matter with you? Dani. Dani's also like that. What's up with you? How do we give a person, confuse him with the great, with the fact that the Creator is great? Yes, we see that religions do it. People are willing to give and give and give. Why? Because they are receiving. That's it. It's concealed reception. People are willing to kill themselves. They think it's devotion. How do we really, that much, let's say now we take Yuda. He's the most, I don't know, materialized person. So, materialistic person. So how do we work on him and confuse him in such a way that he will be in pure bestowal all the time, like that? Why? The will to receive will force him. Let's work on him in this way. It's got nothing to do with his consent. It's got everything to do with our consent. How do we do this? In practice. Without this transition, we can't advance. It's not that difficult. For example, I had a talk with Roy Meron. He told me who is bestowing most in your 10. He didn't mention Yuda among the top three. I don't want to say who was, but Yuda was not one of them. Look, he's already depressed. You see, envy. We just create envy. I think, but Yuda, you know, you still have a chance if you really bestow. I think you will be among the top three in your 10. You still have a chance. Well, I can, you know, your whole life you were with this. You walk around with this inner anger and you curse the Creator. Even when you come to Kabbalah, you sit here 10, 12, 15 years until you come to the moment when you really absorb such greatness of the friends and greatness of the Creator from the group, that every second you get up with a desire to bestow, to give them, to act out the greatness of the Creator to them, and this gives you inner force that sustains you and flows. And then everything is measured with respect to this. You're just thankful for every moment you have a chance, and every difficulty becomes a gift. So you don't want to miss out on this. So it's a shame that you've been here for so many years and you're just consuming your own flesh. Bestowing upon an important person. I don't know, I think it's... The greatness of the Creator is something that exists all the time, whether we want it or not. It all depends on the extent to which you can subjugate yourself before this greatness and follow it, and to what extent society loves you. If it loves you enough, it'll keep pumping it into you so that the greatness of the Creator will be your purpose in life, and it really depends also what you give them in return, and then they'll influence you. I think it's just like, it's like a war. A person has to constantly be in a struggle internally, to constantly pump importance of the goal to the friends, through example, mainly example, and to act out the corrected state. And people should feel this and be jealous of this and understand that they are not in it, that there's a good place that they are not in. I didn't see such examples that you can influence a person in this way and change him. And also, nothing like that is going to be given from above. What are we talking about? Psychology here? Rav, there's the will to receive that the Creator created. Light shines on it. The will to receive wants to receive more. More light shines on it. It wants to receive something specific. Another something specific, and so on, according to the light that shines on it. In its size or depth or quality of the pleasure, it all depends on the light that influences a person. But how does that light that influence him, how does it invert him, creates this trigger where he wanted to enjoy from absorbing a pleasure or a certain action, now he wants the opposite. What does the light do in him? It can turn him in every direction. The will to receive is just raw material. So what changes in the light through the influence from above, so that the will to receive changes so much that it becomes inverted, where it used to be one way, wanting one way and working one way, and then in the complete opposite direction? What change happens through the influence from above on it? Go ahead. We begin to notice that the light makes us feel bad because it controls me. It just shows me how much it controls me, and I don't control what I'm receiving from it. And then, first of all, it says, enough, I don't want this control. Not in this way. I don't understand the question, totally. What does it mean, change in the light? We learn that there is no change in the light. What is this, a discotheque? You have this color, that color, and then I change accordingly? You have a shimot. They change. The will to receive changes in a deterministic way. And what we can do is only shape as much as we can the changes in our will to receive toward bestowal, to elicit, to bring our heads out of the sand, like ostriches, and turn them toward the light, like sunflowers. I think that's our direction. I think every time we have managed to come to such influence on one another, that brings us to a degree of connection, immediately a new Rishimo awakens and separates us, and that's like the new, stronger light. So it's a more powerful Rishimo that separates us. And again, the importance of the Creator, the greatness of the goal, brings us to that connection. Yeah, the light on one hand creates the revelation of the bad, gives you more darkness, but every now and again it takes you out of the cellar, and then you see what the friends are, you see what it means not to think of yourself, it makes you burning, you want to dissolve in the tin, you want to be impressed from something that Rav said, and that way many discernments and darkness until a person decides that this is what I want, even if I don't have it, that's what I want. Why? Because.
In truth, every time the results of the light's influence are different. Sometimes it happens as importance and greatness to bestow, to connect, and so forth. And sometimes it's results of darkness and powerlessness and so forth. You kind of don't have a control over it. You invest in connection and in the group and what you understand according to the instructions of the Kabbalists, and then what's required according to the light.
The light develops awareness, self-awareness. Excerpt number 12 from a speech for the completion of the Zohar. Our sages said, make for yourself a Rav and buy yourself a friend. This means that one can make a new environment for oneself. This environment will help him obtain the greatness of his Rav through love of friends who appreciate the Rav. The friends discussing the greatness of the Rav, through the friends discussing the greatness of the Rav, each of them receives the sensation of his greatness. Thus, bestowal upon one's Rav will become reception and sufficient motivation to an extent that will bring him to engage in Torah and mitzvot lishma, for her sake. They said about that, the Torah is acquired by 48 virtues, by serving friends, and by meticulousness of sages. This is so because besides serving the Rav, one needs the meticulousness with friends as well, the friend's influence, so they will affect him, the obtainment of his Rav's greatness. This is so because obtaining the greatness depends entirely on the environment, and a single person cannot do a thing about it whatsoever.
Rav, what are these three kinds of work in the importance of the friends, teacher, and the Creator? What are these works? What's the difference? How should we work? Should we even make any difference in working on the importance of the friends, one's Rav, the teacher, and the Creator? Go ahead.
It's the structure of the spiritual partsuf. The group is the right partsuf, ten sefirot, and each partsuf has an upper and a lower, and they are connected in such a way that his teacher is the upper state.
Friends are the place of work, Rav is the form of the work, and the Creator is the goal of the work.
Right. That's exactly what I thought. It's a structure of the potsuf, upper potsuf, and the one above the upper. But the work is on importance, each one according to his structure, his place in the system, how we want to connect to him, to the friend, through the connection to the Rav, from that place to discover the Creator.
Yeah, and most importantly is to always kind of play with these three and research and observe them. And we also heard in the morning that if these things connect correctly, that we meet them at a single point. But Kabbalists probably tell you about each of them so that when you deepen into them and then try to bring them together, it makes all the discernments.
Right. From the friends I get the yearning, the desire through envy, lust, and honor, where I really want to fill them, to work toward them. From Rav, I get an example. I want to be like Rav Leitman, copy-paste, just like his calendar, his thoughts, like that. This is my reward. If I can work like that in bestowal, that's my reward. And the Creator is what works, because to think you can do something of it, or that you do anything at all, or that you want to escape in the next minute, is a joke. It's like a kid playing. You discover that the Creator is what operates you. Without it, you can't do anything.
All three are means by which you can attain the greatness of the Creator, and you need to work with whatever you're able to work with at the moment. The group is the kli where you can realize the greatness of the Creator. The Rav gives you the direction, the track, how to attain the greatness of the Creator, and he's also the upper one that directs the group all the time. And the Creator is the goal and the result.
First of all, the beginning of everything is the importance of the Creator. It allows you to make the tzimtzum and then the ability to bestow. So you have the Rav or the Creator and then the tzimtzum and building the masach with the friends and bestowing your object of love.
It's the revelation of the left line and then the importance of the right line, love and connection, and it connects together by the upper force, both the hatred and the connection. And until the middle line is built, always during in an ascent.
I don't remember the question. Three types of work.
I don't know what to add.
Rav, how do we connect these three types of work together? As Baruch Olam writes, that it divides only because of the not true or not accurate approach in the work of the Creator. I don't remember the words. It's in the letter. Letter number 17. Because it only seems that way to us in different forms, but actually it is the same upper force that appears this way. Please, go ahead. Where is it?
Israel is the one who exerts to return to his root. Second is the Creator, which is the root that he longs for. Three is the 613 paths of light by which one purifies his body and soul, which is the secret of the spice. As it says, I created the evil inclination and I created for it the spice of Torah. But the three are actually one and the same, where that eventually the worker of the Creator attains them as one unique and unified discernment. And when they look separated to three, it's because of the incomplete work of the Creator.
So, to which part the created being, the creature, or the 613 ways of the Torah, do the friends and the teacher belong? To which part of them do they belong?
The Oraita, the light. Even by way of elimination, there is a point of the person who awakens and searches for spirituality. There is the goal, the force that works, none else besides him. And then there is a range in reality where it all meets. And it's actually amazing to think about how everyone who awakened here in the world in general is an result of Rav's influence on the world. We all speak from what we absorb from him day to day. And when we connect between us, everyone from his kind of personal subjective way, how he perceives the wisdom over the years and how it kind of clothes on him. And when we connect, we discover the wholeness, the perfection of this thing called Rav, the degree called Rav. And then what works there is the upper force, kind of the tip.
The friends are the yearning. They are the Israel that we all want together. Although you can say that the friends are also the light, because they are the means, like the light is the means. And Rav marks the goal, marks the next degree. He determines the direction we go in.
To continue the friends, maybe to say the friends is the Kli called Israel, and what I want to give the greatness to, or what guides me in life is what is them. And Rav is the Oraita, the light, what works in the system, the way of thinking, the way the attitude, the Torah of life. That's the Rav, and the Creator is what sustains everything.
The Rav belongs to the Creator. He is the revelation of the Creator in this world for us, and the friends pertain to the created being. All 613 ways of the Torah are our ability to connect between Rav and the Creator, the society and the Creator.
I think what's important here is the way they conduct themselves, which is towards the society, and that is perhaps Oraita, the light, that this is what directs me to behave correctly with the Creator and with where I'm going, and this is my tuning. It's through the group.
We are in a system, and we're parts of one system. We have internality and externality. Like a partsuf, you have wash, toch, sof, and it doesn't change that structure. And the toch, it's a system, the structure of the system, and it's very clear.
There is the matter of where we work and what's the direction of the work, and the Rav gives us the direction each time, the connection between the friends and the Creator. If we cling to him, then we can put ourselves exactly in the spot between the Creator and the friends.
It's beautiful to see how each one grasps it differently from his angle. Each one sees it differently. And what's most important is that we can, through mutual annulment, connect and see that it's all one complete picture.
Yeah, the search, the new search again in every degree, that how everything is kind of jumbled again, and then we have to see the picture.
Right, and I would like to add gratitude to talk about these things and to exert an annulment before the friends. It's not simple. And really, there's a lot to be grateful for.
What else can we say? In the end, both Rav and the group take you to the Creator, but everyone has a different role in the personal and collective development. The whole thing is to see how to be in the right attitude to them so that through them you can reach the greatness of the Creator.
Right. When you have the importance up front in the right direction toward bestowal is through the society.
Rav, we are moving to writings of Baal HaSulam, continuing the article, The Essence of Religion and Its Purpose.
Shem Kodesh, Yismach Lev Nevashem.